All right, well, welcome back to the I Am Nerd podcast. It has been a little while, guys. We had to take an episode off because, unfortunately, I came down with an illness. I had a stomach bug, and I still have it, but it's not as bad as it was last week. But I am in recovery right now. I'm just trying to stay hydrated because this thing is doing a number on me. So I just want to give you guys that insight on what's been going on. And while we had to skip the Monday episode this week, but on the brighter things, today we will be talking about Netflix's. We'll be talking about Netflix's biggest show, Squid Game.
I just want to know why you said on the brighter things, because this show's not bright.
The show is. It's pretty dark. It's a dark show for sure. It's definitely not bright. Very dark, actually. But that's why I personally liked it. I watched it a couple weeks before you, and I know that I believe you just finished it.
Yeah, I finished it like 2 hours ago.
Damn, nice. Well, that's pretty good. At least it wasn't like a minute before we started.
No, it was like 2 hours ago. And then I had some other shit I had to take care of. I had a really good day until an hour ago. And then
your day just went to shit.
The last hour, I was raging. But that's not what we're here for.
Yeah, I know how it can be. Okay, so where do we start with this? This show is crazy.
It's pretty wild. I think where to start, just to get the essentials out of the way. You already said it's one of Netflix's biggest shows right now. Pretty huge Korean drama.
Yep. Apparently today I think it actually became Netflix's biggest show ever. Yeah, it's like their most watched show, I'm pretty sure it is their most watched show and the quickest show to ever reach whatever number of
even more than Stranger Things.
It is Netflix's
biggest
show ever.
Let me clarify real quick when I say that. I just know Stranger Things is really, really big.
It is.
And I think season one is amazing. One day we'll talk about how bad season two and season three is. But
I like season one as well. Season two and season three, the writing definitely deteriorates. But like you said, that's another day. What I do want to say is, I don't know if you knew this, randomly, the show Bridgerton is actually the show that held the title before Squid Game broke it.
I've never even heard of it.
Just when I brought it up.
I've never even heard of it.
I think I watched six episodes of it. And I want to say for at least the last three of them, I wasn't really even paying attention anymore because it was so not for me. I'll just say that. I'll let people enjoy things. You know, a lot of people do like it. I don't want to completely shit on your show, but it was not for me. Like, there were parts of it that I thought were cool, but it was just not for me.
Yeah. That's funny. I've never even heard of it. It's weird how sometimes something could be like the biggest thing ever, and you're like, I've never heard of it.
Yeah,
that's good. How is that the biggest thing ever? Like,
I'm glad that you live in that that world, because honestly, Bridgerton was a mistake that I wish I never had to
watch. It's weird though, because like I've never seen anybody talk about whatever that show is, whereas like Squid Game or Stranger Things or House of Cards, like I just, without looking for it, I'll see that on the internet.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you would think that something being, you know, the biggest Netflix show of all time, before Squid Game took it over literally today, you would know about it, no matter how much you don't pay attention to whatever.
Yeah. Like, I saw Squid Game memes and stuff about Squid Game.
And you didn't even watch it yet.
Yeah, before seeing it. Like, I knew what Squid Game was before I knew it was, like, the most popular thing right now.
Right.
Just because I was seeing stuff on the internet. Like,
yeah. And naturally, with us doing this podcast and also with me, because I'm one of those people that whenever I watch something and I think that it's worth watching, I inform all my friends.
Yeah.
And everything that I watch that is just terrible or a guilty pleasure of mine, I keep to myself.
Mm.
Not just kinda how that...
I think I suggest the bad things more.
Damn.
I love suggesting bad things.
I don't know
things.
About that. I feel like you've suggested some good things to me, though.
No, I do. I do. I usually suggest really good stuff, but there's something I love about being like, yo, this is trash and you have to watch it.
Not this is trash.
But Squid Game is pretty sick. It started off... Yeah. So you want to go over like what the premise is?
Yeah. So I want to say this. Right before I ever watched this show, when I looked at the thumbnails for it, I didn't watch any trailers or previews or anything like that. I generally hate trailers and previews, even though some of them I do watch. But I'm not a big fan of them. I think I mentioned that before. When I first looked at the pictures of it, I knew immediately what we were getting into. Like, no one had to tell me that this was going to be a deaf game. Like, yeah. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I've seen so much anime, I've read so much manga, and I've probably watched so many different shows over the course of my life that there was no shot in hell that I thought this was going to be anything other than a deaf game. So I just want to start with that. Because a lot of people, I've gotten into, I won't say arguments, but I've had disagreements with people on Facebook about certain things that happened throughout the show that we'll talk about, where I just was like, that part was obvious to me. And I'm
curious to see what this is.
Yeah, and maybe, and you know what? I'm gonna make sure that I don't forget. So let me just write it down real quick.
That's pretty funny. I, just by looking at it as well, like, it's pretty obvious to me that it's a death game type of show. It looks like, if you look at thumbnails or screenshots or whatever, like, it looks like a death game. I wasn't at all surprised that it was a death game.
Yeah. And also, like, I think the first scene, like the very, very first scene, is children playing. They talk about the Squid Game itself. And they say that if you step on a certain part or something like that, or if something happens, you die.
Yeah.
It literally says the word. It says you die. So I was not surprised. So I say all of this to say, when it got to red light, green light, I was like, oh, these motherfuckers are about to get offed. Now, I'm not going to act like I knew how they were going to be killed. I had no idea how they were going to be killed. I actually wasn't expecting that. So when the first person got fucking shot on the spot, that really shocked me. Like, that part, I'm not even going to lie, I was laying in my bed. It was like 1 a.m. when I watched episode one. And that first shot, when it killed, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, he got smoked.
Yeah, that kind of, it was like, oh, that's like, it's just on the spot. Like, there's no... After, you know, maybe they tally up after the game and they're like, you were caught moving, then they kill them all. But no, it was like, you die right there. So I wasn't really surprised about that. But I do want to go back to the, like, episode one before we get to red light, green light. So one of the things they set up really early for us is that the main character is like a terrible person, right? Like, there's
he's down on his luck.
I think it's way deeper than down on his luck, dog. Like, they established very early on that the main character is a shitty human being. So I'm just gonna run down some things that I picked up on real quick in episode one. This is like the first, I don't know, half hour or so. So he's living with his mom. He's 47. I didn't know he was 47.
But, is he 47?
I didn't know that until Gary fucking told me that. And then I looked it up, and apparently he's fucking 47. Now, I knew he was old as fuck and living with his mom. I don't have a problem with you being older and living with your mom, because in certain cultures, that is, one, normal. And two, like, there's really nothing wrong with it if your parents allow you to live there and you can tolerate living with your parents. That's the other thing. I always have to say that, because I would live with my parents if they would allow me to, you know, if I didn't have to pay anything. But I can't tolerate living with my fucking parents because they're just annoying as hell to me. Like, I love my parents and all that stuff, but I could not imagine living with them at this age anymore, because I can't. And I guess a lot of people probably feel that way. So he lives with his mom, and then the very next thing is that he begs his mom for money. Which, okay, that's a bit wild for, especially 47. Like, dog, he is 3 years away from being 50. So he begs his mom for money. She doesn't have a lot. They're clearly like a pretty impoverished family. That's pretty obvious. They live in a super tiny apartment. The food doesn't look like you can just tell that the setting is pretty poor. They're like in the ghetto area, you know, is giving very much that vibe. The next thing, though, is even after his mom, you know, he damn near forces her to give him money. And after she does, he steals her fucking debit card.
Yeah.
And then he's trying to guess the password to her debit card with his other fucking lackey. And he can't guess it at first. And then he realizes, oh, shit, it's always the grandkids. And he puts in, like, his own daughter's birthday, and it gives him the money. So he's now living with his mom, begging his mom for money. When she says no, he begs even more. He gets the money. Then he steals the debit card that his mom has, takes even more money from her, then goes to gamble. So,
yo, addiction's a hell of a thing, man.
It is. So he has a gambling
addiction. Addiction is a serious problem.
It is. And I actually have dealt with someone who has gambling addiction. It is extremely serious and it's scary. Gambling addiction is a very real thing. So I do not want to make light of that part, because that shit was a little triggering to me. To be more specific, I've dated someone with gambling addiction, and it is very triggering. And honestly, people with gambling addiction, I've even seen. I mean, I actually know a couple. Now that I think about it,
yes, you do.
Let's just say almost all of my friends that go to my local, they all fucking work in the casino. And that is not for nothing. Those motherfuckers are degenerates. I love them all, but they know who they are. They're degenerates. And they love their goddamn gambles. But I've seen people have to ban themselves from casinos. That's how bad it is. You can apparently exempt yourself from ever being allowed to walk on the premises, or else the police will be called on you.
So, oh, shit.
I didn't know about this until, of course, I met someone with a severe gambling addiction who informed me that you can sign up. You can go into the casino and say, please do not allow me to get, like, I do not want to do this anymore. No matter what, please do not allow me to come back here. And once you're on that list, you can't get off. Now, you can choose to set it like, oh, I only want to do this for a year. Or you can choose lifetime. You know what I mean? Like, you can be like a year, 5 years, or lifetime. Like, there's a thing. But you can basically make it where you cannot go to a casino for several years or for the rest of your life. And I think that's really cool that casinos allow that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Okay, real quick. I agree. I think it's cool. But let's not pretend the casinos were like, let's enact this thing. Like, some laws probably came down the pipeline. Like, listen, you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
You got to put something in place.
You're probably right. I didn't research it at all. So I don't know who was
the first. I just found out about it today. But yeah. I know that the casino heads didn't have the idea.
Yeah.
I know it wasn't the day, them.
People were losing a house and they were just accepting.
Yep. They're like,
yeah, I guess he lost his fucking house. Like,
guess he lost his house.
So he has a gambling addiction, and apparently he's not even good at it, which is the worst thing because it's like, oh God, you like to gamble, and then you also aren't good at gambling. So he loses on his horse betting, and then he basically bets again after losing, and he wins. But the guy asks him, like, you know, why did you choose the number 6 and 8? And he's like, oh, I just, like, it was just like some stupid shit. Like,
it was his daughter's birthday.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with the actual horses or any research that he did on them. Because for what it's worth, I will say this. If you're gambling on a sport, right, I do think that there's a bit of a difference in, like, I don't know, gambling on certain other things. And the only reason I say that is because gambling on sports is you can have certain information that can obviously assist you in making a more informed gambling decision. It's still gambling.
Yeah, there's a difference between betting money on a basketball game and, you know, LeBron James is on one of the teams. And yes. Flipping a coin.
Yes. Yeah. Couldn't have said it better. Yes. Like, if, you know, and imagine even more context is, like, the other team is trash. It's not the Warriors in fucking 2014 or whatever when they were just like God tier. So there's that. So he's really bad at gambling. He wins some money, though, and he, like, tips the lady. he tips the lady 10,000 of whatever their currency is. Now, I had to do conversions because the show references their money a lot. I had to do a conversion to see what the hell it translates into.
I think it's two less zeros, right? Isn't it basically two less zeros?
Is that how it goes? Because when I looked up the prize for winning first place,
I'm not 100% sure.
Okay, well, let me just check real quick.
It's either like one or two less zeros. It's something like that. It's like they have one more zero in their number than we do, or two more. I don't remember exactly. I want to say it's two more zeros. But in a rough estimate, that's not the exact.
So he won 45.6 billion won, and it's around 38 million USD. So it's not really a matter of removing zeros. It seems like there's just a straight up percentage difference. And obviously, I'll just say this too, with any foreign exchange, the rates change constantly. Yeah. I mean, at every single minute they change. So, you know, at the time of this recording, I think that it's going to be 38 million, but in a couple years from now, it could be less or it could be more, depending on how the exchange rates move between the US dollar and the won. Because I didn't know when they were, first of all, the bills have 10,000 on it, right? The bill that he tipped the lady, the teller, it had 10,000 written on it, I believe. And I was like, God damn, I don't know what to think about that. I don't know what that amount is. I have no idea. I was like, I'm sure it's not a lot. I'm sure it's not a crazy amount, but I'm sure that it is enough to be like, that is a nice tip, but it's not something like, it's not the number 10,000.
Yeah.
To us, 10,000, like, you would never tip somebody 10,000 in real life unless you were, I don't know, a millionaire. So in his position, I was like, it can't be a lot. So I was curious. I had to look it up. But so he tips the lady, and then, like, he runs out. He runs into one of the best characters in the show, Sai. And she steals his money, and there's that whole bit. And then he runs into this point where he has to meet up with his daughter, and he was supposed to get his daughter like a nice meal, but now he lost the money, so he has to get her a meal that her mom considers to be junk food. Now, I like this part about him. I'm not going to lie. This part was a little redeeming for me. The part where he's eating with his daughter and he's eating the quote unquote junk food, but his daughter actually likes it. I like that type of thing. So your mom is like, no, you can't have it. It's bad for your teeth, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, all the things that some parents are just really hard on, and they don't want you to have certain things. And then you got that one parent who's like sneaking it to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of like that. So when he did that, I was like, you know, I kind of fuck with this. Like, even though the circumstances of why he couldn't give his daughter a nice dinner are kind of fucked, but I still like the fact that he did give her something that she does like. Like, she actually likes it. Yeah. That was cool.
I think on that note, and I mean, it comes through, I guess, as the show goes on, but that's why, I agree. He is a degenerate. Like, there's no way to word it. Like, in his current state at the start of the show, he's a degenerate. But I do think, and you see it as the show goes on, like, he is overall a person who, you know, throughout whatever the breaks of life are, just kind of like got down on his luck. And sometimes you get in that hole and it's hard to get out. Cause like, you see throughout the show that he is like a good person for what it's worth. Like, when it comes down to it, you know what I mean? But he just is kind of a degenerate. You don't think so?
I don't agree with that, actually.
I
think that this, so I want to say that, I'll say this early. I was going to say this later, but I do think that Squid Game is basically a look into how shitty humans can get.
For sure.
And I think that the main character already showed that he was a pretty shitty human before he ever got into the Squid Game, which is why we spent about 30 plus minutes on his character before he even gets into the game. He's just not a good person. Like, if you're stealing money out of your mom's purse and, like, you know, you're about to lose your daughter, she's about to move. Like, he's just all over the place. It's very clear that he's not a very good person in general. And later on with the marbles game, like, again, he just fucking lost all his morals again. It was just like, all right, like, this old guy who's been nothing but nice to you, you decide to absolutely cuck him. Now, don't get me wrong, he doesn't know that the old, so in context, like, when we're all watching this, if you know, spoiler alert, in context, when this is happening in the marbles game, no one really knows the old guy whose name is like Il-Nam.
Yeah.
No one knows that he is basically the one running this whole fucking thing. Like, he's one of the people running it, basically. Yep. And so you don't really know that at the time. So when he is using the perceived disability of Il-Nam against him to win the game, one, I want to make this clear. I am not saying that if the same opportunity was presented to me that I wouldn't do the same thing. I am not that person. If I was on my last couple of marbles and the guy I was playing, his dementia just so happened to start kicking in at that very moment and I won because of it, I'm not going to sit here and act all holier than thou. Like, I wouldn't save my life doing exactly what Gi-Hung did. But at the same time, like, it is a question of morality. And a lot of Squid Game is just how fucking vicious. The Marble Game especially showed us that. We also saw the part with Ali. And
that shit was...
I don't want to... Yeah, and the thing, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but...
Yeah.
I do want to say that, like, there's a lot of evidence for him being a bad person. Now, there's also evidence of him, I guess, being something other than that, but...
So that's kind of where I'm coming from, in that... I do think obviously, like, everything that you listed is true, right? In terms of, like, his state before the Squid Game even starts.
Yeah.
But in that, like, I don't know, you see people like that, you know people like that, like, you, as much of a degen as he is, he does still, like, care about his daughter, right? And then the part where I think this is after he leaves the game the first time, when he goes and he tries to borrow money from his daughter's stepdad, and then, like, the stepdad gives him the money and then says, like, never come here again or whatever. And then, like, he punches him and then throws the money at him. And he's like, do you think money solves it? And it's like one of those things where it's in that moment, it showed he had a bit more integrity than you would have thought from him.
And then he goes back into the fucking Squid Game.
Yeah, no, but he goes back into the Squid Game for what the, there's more than one reason, but I feel like one of the biggest reasons is because his mom is going to die and he needs the money for the hospital bills. But like, for example, like the situation where he takes advantage of the old man's dementia, it's obviously horrible. When I was watching it, I was like, man, it fucking sucks. But just like you, it's like, I'm not going to sit there and act like I wouldn't do the same thing, because my life is on the line, number one.
Yes.
But number two, that game is designed to put you against somebody. Like, the one dude was fucking against his wife, right? Because you partner up with somebody, and obviously you partner up with somebody that you trust the most or whatever, or who you think will give you the best chance of winning. And I think something that was interesting was, like, before he screws over the old guy, he makes the decision to be on his team. Before he knows it's going to be a game where he goes against his partner, he chooses basically the weakest link there out of friendship. And I think that
can be perceived either way, but that is true. He does choose the old guy, but that can also be looked at as on purpose because he is the most frail person there. And I'm sure you can understand why that would be a thing, right? It's same thing for why when people were choosing for Tug of War, they didn't know they were going to play Tug of War, but even though they could have fucking looked at the walls, but they didn't know they were going to play Tug of War. And there was a team, I call this guy the gangster.
He is the gangster.
I'm going to refer to him as the gangster for pretty much the entire podcast because I don't know his name. And honestly,
His name's like Duck Sue or something, but it doesn't matter. He's the G.
He's the G. So, the gangster guy, he assembled a team of men who are pretty brawny, not the smartest, right? We've seen this trope used in so many things, so many anime. You have the really diesel guy and then a bunch of his little lackeys, and they're literally fucking idiots. That's literally his whole thing. But it was smart for Tug of War. For Tug of War, he was going to steamroll every other team. If they had to go, like, let's say Tug of War was a bracket. They won the Swig game. Well, I guess they won until it was to the point where they had to play against each other and do something else. But they would have steamrolled every other team if that was the case. So in that way, it's like you choosing was smart for that. The fact that the marble game came after, right? After you've seen that strength is a factor in some of these games. The more I talk about this show, the more I'm realizing how much I actually really like it.
It's really good.
Because of all the things that you can... Like, this is probably our first podcast where we like disagree so much, I guess, or like,
I think so.
Have different viewpoints. But when he's choosing the old guy, I almost see it as I'm choosing you because if it comes down to any physical activity, I auto win. And maybe that's just my thinking. Maybe that's just how I think, because I'm always thinking of like, I'm thinking from a strategic standpoint, this is a game of life and death, right? Like, we've never been put in any situation like this.
Yeah.
I don't exactly know 100% all things that I would do in a life or death situation like this. This is so extreme. But looking at how the game has progressed, it's not. If that was the first game, sure, no malice. But it being so late, it could be argued, is all I'm saying. It could be argued that he did it because...
I'm not 100% sure what you're saying. Because like, when they're picking a teammate, what do you mean? Like, when he picks a teammate, you're saying he auto wins if he picks the old guy.
So this is what I got into the argument with, what I had to stop and write down earlier in the episode on Facebook. Someone said that, you know, you pretty much, I'm actually just going to bring it up. I'm just going to bring up the exact Facebook comment because I don't want to
go ahead.
I don't want to misquote him, but essentially it was about picking a person. I said, I disagree that you pick somebody that, you know, when I first saw they had to pick one person, I immediately said, do not pick a friend. I had company. I fucking had company who can verify. I was like, you do not pick a friend here. It's so obvious to me. I said, this part was so obvious. I've watched too much TV. So let me just find the exact thing that he said. Here we go. So it was the one where I said, what's the worst game as far as like, what's the most fucked game? And let's see. He said, I think the marbles game. So my friend, and he's actually going to come on a podcast when we do an episode about, I believe he wanted to do an episode on food. So if we do any kind of like food episode, or like maybe I'll watch Food Wars or something, he'll come on. But my friend Dominic Roberts, really good friend of mine from the Yu-Gi-Oh! Community, he said, I think marbles is the most fucked game because picking a random number and being essentially assigned death up through 12 is way less fucked than picking a partner to kill / be killed by unknowingly. You always pick a teammate or someone close. So it's definitely the most fucked in my opinion. And I responded, I disagree actually. Maybe my brain works differently. I don't know. When it got to that part where you had to choose just one person, I said, yeah, no, this is going to be a versus. One of each pair will die. Obviously, it's a guess, but it's one of those things where my intuition just like kicks in and I'm like, they're pretty far in by this point. Everything about this has been a fucked situation. I was always choosing a random, someone not too much bigger than me, of course, but I would 100% be splitting from my friends in a game at that moment. That's what I wrote. And some people actually said they felt the same way. Like when they said pick one other person, they felt the versus mode. Like you can kind of, I don't know, maybe again, my brain might just be, I think differently. Maybe I'm always thinking that everyone's an enemy or something, or like, I don't know, that maybe there's some psychology to it.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting because,
but you can see how someone might think that when they say pick one person, that it might be a fuck situation where you don't.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure. But like, I also think it's one of those things where, like, who knows? Because when you're in that situation, not that either of us have been.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can never speak from the actual situation, but yeah.
But like when you're in that, I could see it going both ways where when you're in this life or death type of game, like think about like the like war, like people in the military, whatever. Obviously, these people are trained to rely on each other. But my point is like, I think when you're put all the way to the edge and you're in these life or death stakes, you'll either A, like create camaraderie and either try to group up. And so you'll pick a teammate that you can rely on and that you think you can fight through together with, or B, you'll be like vicious out to get everybody and kind of like,
right. And we saw that.
Don't
we
trust anyone.
We saw people who were like that throughout the game.
Yeah. So it's definitely interesting. I don't think I could fault anyone I don't think I could fault anybody on the outside thinking either way. Like the guy, like your friend that's saying that it makes sense that you would team up with like a person that you know.
I can't really
fault that because I think that thought process makes sense, as does yours. I think.
Yes, that's the thing. I disagree with him because of my own personal feeling where I immediately, when they said to pick one person, I said, nope. I would not pick Xavier. I wouldn't pick Eric. Like I wouldn't pick Gus. Like all closest friends, I wouldn't pick Silverman. I wouldn't pick McCabe. Something about the pick one person just freaked me out. I don't know.
Did you not hear that? He didn't name me. He's like, I'd pick Kenny in a heartbeat.
You're my fucking. You're my co. God damn it! You're my co-host. Of course I love you. I hate you, dog.
He's like, I'm gonna pick Kenny, and the next game is gonna be a fucking game of Yu-Gi-Oh.
How did this get so dark?
They're gonna hand us fucking six of every card from fucking the start of Yu-Gi-Oh to 2006.
What happened?
He's gonna be like, 2006 is like pretty early actually. But anyway, yeah,
it's just goats. you just said goat format. So a format that you know how to play.
And it's gonna be like, all right, you play against the person you picked.
I hate you, dog. Like,
damn.
Why you put me on tilt like this? You just blew my whole spot up. Damn. No, but I totally understand people picking their friends, their husband and wife. That just
the husband and wife one is so fucked.
It is. And again, I even wrote, obviously I could get fucked on picking a random, but I also made sure that I put, because this is how my mind was thinking when they were all in that lobby. I was like, okay, I'm not picking someone like the gangster guy. It doesn't make sense to pick someone who's physically stronger than you in any scenario. I think that if it's a game of like brains, you can't really tell too much how intelligent someone is by just looking at them. So you can kind of interpret what you want from, you know, the gangster squad. Like his guys are pretty dumb overall, at least they look it. But even them, they might not actually be. Like you can't really judge by his cover. But you being physically bigger than me and stronger than me.
Like you could just see that.
I could just see it. And you being frail, I can also see that. I wouldn't choose the old man just because I don't think I would be anywhere near him, honestly. I don't really, it's not my thing. but if you are someone who's just like, oh, you're kind of like my body type and I don't really know you that well, like I don't care if you live or die, I'm choosing you. Because one, here's the thing. If it is so let's say I'm wrong and it's a team event, right? Where you and a person are going up against another team, or you and a person have to do something to survive together. Well, I'll put it this way. Yes, I'd rather have someone like my best friend to do that with. However, everyone is fighting for their life.
Yeah.
So I'm not too worried about if we get put in a, because basically why everyone's choosing a friend is because they're thinking it's going to be a team thing. Like a something with, obviously you think it's something with teams, like in a good way. That's the only way you guys' decision makes sense to me. So if you think it's a team thing, then do you think that everyone in this game is fighting for their fucking life and the money, or do you think they aren't? And I just feel like, well, if I get fucked and it's a team game, at least I know the person next to me, like, they have to be still also fighting for their life. If it is a versus, then I'm in fucking great shape. These are just weighing me, like, what could happen. That's just how, again, this is just how my brain processed. I'm not saying that there is a wrong or right way. And you guys let us know right into the I Am There podcast at iamtherepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about this whole situation of picking the one person, because it can really go either way. I think it's such an interesting, like,
thought process. You know who I don't fuck with?
Who?
I don't fuck with Sungwoo. His childhood.
They call him Woo Shiesty.
I don't fuck with him at all. Because here's the thing. So everything I do agree with everything you said. In the context of the main character and him picking the old man, all of that said, at least from what we could gather, his thought process wasn't that. He did look at it as if it was going to be a team.
Yeah.
So the fact that he did pick the old man, you know, I don't know. I give him points. I do think he's, you know, obviously a D-gen, but I do think that he had a heart there. Whereas on the other side,
there is no redeeming.
I think he has a heart, man. I think he has a heart.
No, I wasn't saying.
Sung Woo though.
Woo Shiesty is nothing to be played with,
bro. When he in that very first, I want to say it's the second game, when he knew with the game the sugar honeycombs.
Yes, and he didn't tell anybody.
And he didn't tell any of his homies. He was like, "Oh yeah, I think we should split up." And he watched my man go to the fucking umbrella.
And
when they revealed what the game was, basically, for anybody that doesn't know, there's like essentially shapes in like a thing of sugar.
A triangle, like, a circle, a star, and an umbrella.
And it's like hardened sugar, and you have to like cut the shape out. And if you fuck up and like break the shape or whatever, then you die. They just shoot you in the head.
Yep,
and
so like,
if you look at it, triangle is by far the easiest one. It's the simplest and easiest one to accomplish.
Yeah, not even a question.
When I saw my man got umbrella, when I saw what umbrella was and what he had to do, I was like, holy shit.
Also, the reason why he chose umbrella was pretty funny, because he like always loses his umbrella. So he just kind of, and apparently he even left his umbrella at his baby mom's house.
He did.
Yeah. So just kind of a little foreshadowing there.
It was so messed up, because his homie,
his
childhood friend. Yes. Like at this point, I guess my thought process is, I understand at the end of the day, as the show goes on, you realize he's like, I'm in it for the money. I need to live. I have stuff I have to take care of. My life is fucked up. My mom is in danger because of me. And he's like, his eye is on the prize. He's trying to win. Yep. That said, I don't understand how you just fucking over people that trust you that early on is helpful to you. Like,
right. I want to interject with this too. I do a lot of watching the show Big Brother, and it is a fantastic show. It is basically the same thing. It's like a case study on how shitty human beings can get if you confine them into a space. You watch, it's literally Big Brother, actually. Now I think about it, Squid Game is Big Brother, but you can kill. So basically, you confine people into a space, you make them compete for a lot of money, and you see how they lie and manipulate each other and the nasty things they're willing to do to win this prize. Mm-hmm. So when in the game, Big Brother, one of the key parts to win the game is how well you play with everyone until it's time to get rid of them. Because at the end of the day, only one person wins. And every week, someone goes home. So you do have to manage your relationships throughout the game so that way, you want to be in a squad that takes you to the end, but at some point you do have to turn on the squad.
Yeah.
You do have to find a way to attack your own squad, divided. So when it's down to five people left, if you guys like, let's say, because they always start off with like 20 people. Let's say in the first episode, this happens all the time in Big Brother. In the first episode, five people will secretly go into the bathroom and be like, yo, do you guys want to be a team? I like all of you. Let's just be a team, but let's keep it hidden. No one knows that we're a team. We're working together. No one knows. Let's say all five of you make it to the very end. Right, or close to the end, so it's five left. Now, it's like, y'all have to eat each other. The team has to eat each other.
Yeah.
So what you want to do at that point is you want to divide it 3-2.
Yep,
you still want to be majority rules. You still want to be like, okay, now it's 3-2. And then it's going to get to a point where it's like, well, now it's 2-2, and now it's 3. And it's really interesting how dark it gets. People just, when they watch it back, a lot of people who go on the show say, I couldn't believe the person that I became while I was in there. Because you're sequestered. You're sequestered to the outside world.
It's interesting. Stuff like that's really interesting. As a little aside note, not a death game or a game like that, but even just reality TV.
Yep.
Everybody knows our last president, Donald Trump, had a show called The Apprentice. And one of my favorite magicians of all time, Penn Jillette from Penn and Teller, was on, I think, 2 seasons of Celebrity Apprentice. And he talked about how, and then he also read this book, but he talked about how people that he knew very well, that he was friends with, they became different people on that show. And it's not because they're bad people are always were secretly bad people. And it's also not fake. A lot of people think when they watch these reality TV shows that people are doing things that are like fake in order to play it up for the camera. And what he kind of revealed was like, that's not what happens. What happens is the camera is literally always on and you get ego depleted. Eventually, yep. You start off, because the camera's always on, being the best version of yourself. But because you're trying to be the best version of yourself for so long, eventually you become the worst version of yourself. And it's just like, you just get depleted. And that's what ends up happening. And so that happens on like anything, right? Just a normal reality TV show. So
like, it does. It happens in real life. Like these are real. So we've never seen a death game because that shit's super illegal. And I don't deny the fact that I do believe something like this has taken place in real life. Obviously, we'll never really know about it. But I just have to imagine there's some illegal society somewhere. Think about it.
They had to do it with the Romans, right? The Romans had
someone,
to do it.
Someone. I'm talking about more modern, but less. Okay, sure. Way back in the day, they definitely did it. I think that there is a modern Squid Game that has happened. And I want to say in the last 10 years, I feel like there's been a Squid Game.
It's probably one happening right now.
There might be one happening right now.
Bill Gates right now has like a thong going on a bear mask.
If you can please me in 5 minutes, I'll change your life forever. That line was so nasty.
That was nasty.
I think that when you are put under a microscope like that and you are sequestered from the outside world, so you don't have much human contact outside of the people who you are confined with, and you just remove a lot of the normal things that humans get to do, which is freedom. Like, you kind of just remove their freedom.
Yeah.
Pretty much prison. Because they were in, like, their living condition was terrible. Even the meals. The meals were awful.
The meals were so bad.
And your meal could be stolen from you. And there was just a lot. The beds looked trash. Like, they were on metal bed frames. The whole thing was just scuffed.
It was no bueno.
Yeah, it was meant to create a stressful environment. I feel like that was the whole point of it. Having everyone sleep in one big-ass room, serving everyone up meals that just, honestly, like, I would be starving. Like, I would just be starving, especially if one of the things they gave me was milk. I don't drink milk. I can't do anything with milk. So I don't even know. Like, I would just be like, okay, does someone want this? Like, what the fuck?
It gets bad.
Yeah.
It gets bad.
I would be fucked on the food. So I would be weak. Like, I would just be a weak contest. Like, no one would probably want me on their team because I'm just like not eating. If those are my options, like if they serve me fucking liver,
yeah,
I'm just like, I think
on day one or two, but you're gonna eventually eat that bullshit.
I get what you're saying. Like, I like donuts, I like hard boiled eggs, certain things they served, I like, but when I spoil everything. If they do a day where they're giving out liver,
like, oh no,
and the only reason I keep bringing liver is because when I was growing up, I lived with my grandma for a while, and my grandma used to randomly just make liver and rice. Liver, rice, and onions. Like, it would
liver and onions. Dude, that's the classic, like, that's the meal that every kid, that was like the mythological meal that every kid hates. Like, the idea of liver and onions,
yeah.
Like, get that out of my mouth.
That shit is disgusting. It deceitfully looks like, or deceptively looks like steak.
Mm.
And I love steak. But liver is not even remotely close. I feel like you shouldn't be eating someone's internal cleaner. Mm. I just feel like that should not be something that is on the plate. Like, why am I eating something that is basically a filter?
Nah, I'm with you.
Like, I'll pass. So if there's a liver day, I'm not eating. And I don't care what anyone, like, I'm just not eating. I haven't really been eating lately anyway because of the stomach virus. So I can go a couple. It's been like 6 days and I've had literally saltine crackers and Gatorade. I've been eating saltine crackers and Gatorade for the last 6 days. So I will gladly starve.
I've definitely been on that tip. Real quick to go back real quick off, because we went off on a tangent explaining things, to go back to as you called him, Shiesty Sung Woo, whatever his name is.
Woo Shiesty.
It doesn't make sense. He wasn't playing the game, even though he was playing the game very smart. And he played each individual game smart for himself. He also just wasn't smart because he was screwing people over too quickly. Like, there was no reason for him to screw over that whole group in that first game.
That's why I said It's all about how you manage your relationships to get to the end. I feel like he just didn't do a good job of that, honestly. Yeah. Like he got to the end, do not get me wrong, but he did pull the trigger a little quickly. If his whole team had died earlier, like, I don't know how he would have fared later on.
He fucked them over. Like if they he set himself up to not have allies.
Yes, really, and it was really early. Like you said, it was really early. I mean, half the people died in red light, green light, and then it was like, you know, they went home. Most of them came back, and then a ton of them probably died in fucking honeycomb game.
I feel like each game was like got factored by two, right? Like each game, like pretty much called half of the squad.
So I want to say this. I love that word call, by the way. I think red light, green light is a phenomenal first game. And the writer who it took him 10 years to get this script accepted by anyone.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, I really do appreciate that when it's your time, it's your time. Because Squid Game, at first, I was like, okay, it was kind of like, I like parts of it, but then the ending, whatever. The more I've researched it and the more I've been on the internet about it, I have fallen in love with so much effort that the internet has put into dissecting it and informing me on things that I just missed or didn't understand or didn't know. But on my own, when I first watched it, one of the things I thought was, oh, God, this will work in every scenario. Like, if you do red light, green light in a room of 456 people, and one person moves and they get killed in front of 455 people, everyone mostly is going to panic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, easily that will happen every time. That's the first game. I imagine that red light, green light is the first game every single Squid Game. I just think that it's the perfect game to call a ton of people.
Yeah, it's so broken.
You're going to wipe out half or more of the people with red light, green light, because the first person to die for real is going to freak most people the fuck out. And I even said to myself, I don't know how I would react to that. I've never seen a person be shot to death in front of me. That's never like not like that. I've never seen anything like that. I've never seen anybody be fucking shot. Yeah. Shot to death in front of me.
He got blown out. Like it was bad.
I've never seen anything like that. And so that would freak me out. I think, I don't know how I would respond. I don't know if I would realize like adrenaline rush, do not move. I don't know if I have that mental fortitude to do that. I have no idea. I have no idea how I'll react in that situation.
No one does. The only people that could honestly say with
military
decent people accuracy what they would do is military people.
Yeah, military people could be stoic as fuck in that situation, but I am nowhere near. So in that situation, I think that was a fantastic way to start it off, because you do want to like get rid of, like, you don't need all the people. you just get rid of half of them from the gate. It's just like, all right, that's just half. Like, just cut it in half.
That's the precedent, too. Like, it's like, well, here it is. Like, this is what it is.
Because so many bodies. There's so many dead bodies. It was just a thing of fucking bodies. And like you said, it sets the precedent. This is a death game. It also will scare the fuck out of you now. Everything will have you on edge. I'll be nervous about everything. I will be nervous about literally they're walking us back to our room. You know how they have to walk around those staircases that like lead to themselves? I'll be scared about that. I'll be looking around. I'll be paranoid. I'll be fucking paranoid.
Shit was wild. Some of those games, it's red light, green light is like a perfect way to start. That second game is fucked up, the sugar comb one. Because like some of the games, there really is just like, it's just random chance. Like if I happen to pick Umbrella, because I don't know what, you know what I mean? Like it's
I guess let's talk about the games. So the second game is the honeycomb game, right? And I thought that it was, how should I say? So the game itself was eerie. When they were first told what they have to do, I was like, okay, how hard could this really be? And then they start chiseling it out. And I'm like, that doesn't seem that hard to me. Like in my head, I've never done it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm a person, I cut hair. Like I'm randomly a barber. I used to draw like throughout my teenage years and through my childhood. So I'm saying I have a pretty steady hand in general. Like I do a lot of things that require you to have, I guess, a steady hand. And I trust my handwork in a lot of things. And I feel like I will be able to get through the game. So when I was watching them do it, I was like, I think I would pass this. I wasn't too concerned. Obviously, if I chose the umbrella shape, I'm probably fucked. But
the umbrella one is so
but if I chose anything else, I think I could do circle, star, and triangle are basically the same thing, but star is just more triangles. So I think I could do star and triangle easily. Circle's kind of like hard too, but you know, you might be able to finesse that one as well. Umbrella and circle, I really don't want. Triangle and star, if I happen to choose those, I think I'm getting through that game. I don't think I'm losing on those games. What made it eerie though is when people started dying. The room was quiet, and it took a while because they have a timer, but it took a while before somebody finally fucked up.
Yep.
And I like how they built that suspense where you were wondering what does happen. Like, obviously, you know what happens when somebody fucks up, but seeing is always different. There's something about seeing it.
It's because also that's the second game. So the first game, they didn't really have the condom people out on the field killing people. It was like they had snipers up in the towers. I don't know. They're dressed like condoms. But that second game, okay, they had the soldiers all there. And then, yes. So, yeah, it took a while, 15 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And then when the first guy fucked up, and then just right there in front of everybody, execution
so
style.
That, I remember, so again, I had company when I was watching it. The first thing I said was trauma.
Yeah.
Like when the first person got shot in the head just like that, I said trauma. That is fucking traumatic. Like that would, especially depending on how close you are, because it's a gunshot. And
it's that whole room, everybody's ears had to be ringing. The whole room.
It had to be terrible. And then he kept shooting people. So I was thinking to myself, that would be so fucking traumatic. Because one, you know people are dying too. Like it's not like every time you hear a shot, it's like, well, he might, like, no, he's dead.
Well, he might be, you know, he might be all right.
Like they're getting headshot. Everyone's getting a headshot. And if they're not dead, the first, like they'll be dead. So I don't like the idea of being that close to something like that. And that made that game freaky for me. But overall, I think the game itself is not too bad, especially if you know not to choose Umbrella.
Yeah.
And probably don't. Yeah.
If you know what the game is. That's the thing though, because like you're working with like a food or whatever that you can break. That's the thing that's scary is that like if you mess up a little bit, like it can just crack. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, and also like so here's the other, and this is me getting a little too deep, but I was thinking, what about faulty pieces? Because we saw people making that. When Sai went into the vents, she saw them making the honeycomb.
Yep.
She didn't know what to think about it, which I like about the story. Like, you know, she didn't fucking become a genius all of a sudden and say, oh my God, I know what the next game is. Like nothing told her what the next game was. But then we kind of realized after you see them stirring sugar in a pot, what it was.
Yep.
And I think it's really interesting that we don't know for sure if all of the honeycomb pieces were audited to make sure that there was like quality assurance.
Yeah. If they were all perfectly made.
Yes, because if you get a faulty piece and you don't realize it maybe until you get to a certain point, or maybe, I don't know. Let's just say you open your shit, you pull it out, you start chiseling, and it immediately just cracks because it's like it's faulty. Maybe it's too light. Like that
you
would just
get shot. Yeah, you just get shot.
Yeah, like there's no bar. I don't think there's anyone you can bargain with. It's like, yo, like my piece was fucked.
Like, yeah, they'll just be like, that's part of the luck. That's part of the game. That's part of the random chance. Yeah,
everyone's fair. Some people get fucked like that. You know, whatever.
What was the third game again?
Tug of War.
Oh yeah, Tug of War. Dude, I actually called it was Tug of War pretty early. Like
really?
I was watching it. Yeah, I was watching it with people as well. I think three people total in the room. And we're sitting there, and as they're setting up and they're like picking teams, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be, I don't know why. I was like, this is gonna be Tug of War.
See that fucking intuition.
I was like, this is gonna be Tug of War. Like, I don't know why I knew it was gonna be Tug of War, but I was like, this is gonna be fucking Tug of War. And they said it was Tug of War. I was like, oh shit.
I didn't know, I'll be honest, I had no idea what was coming up when they were picking teams, but I saw how they went about it, and they were like, oh, we should probably pick strong people, you know, mostly men, not too many women, not too many old people. And I thought to myself, I was like, what would I be doing in a situation? I feel like I'm not really good in those situations where it's time to pick a team, like several people like that. I'm not an athletic person. I've never been that guy. So I've never had to be in a situation where people are picking for, like, you know, how when people pick on a playground for teams. Yep. I've never been in a situation in my life. I know a lot of people are like, oh, it sucks when you get picked last. I've never been in a situation to be picked last. I've never been in a situation to have anything happen. So I don't know what it feels like at all. I just feel like someone would walk up to me and probably be like, hey, do you want to be on my team? And I would think about them, like who they are, and I would say yes or no. And that would just be how I ended up on. I would end up on a team that way. I don't know if I don't think I would be the person to go up to people and say, hey, can I join your team? I don't know.
Yeah, I think I would definitely be trying to build a team, I think, in that situation.
So, yeah, and if that's the case, if you saw me as like somebody you would want, then I'd be like, okay, and I'll look at you and be like, does this guy look strong to me? Does he look smart to me? Does he like seem like, if depending on how you are, I'm really quick to be like, yes. And then also depending on, like, if, you know, if Ilnan walked up to me, I'd be like, I'm a pass. I'm a pass. And you know, that's me blocking my blessing. Like maybe old man is exactly what I need, but I will block my blessing in that case.
Tug of war was messed up.
Tug of war is wild.
Just watching them fall too, like the way they just straight up fall. Like,
I love when you watch the first two teams because you don't know the people in the first two teams, right? Like people who go first. Well, I guess it's the gangster.
You know the gangster team. It's the gangster team versus randos.
Right. So when they win. I was so interested to see like what is going to happen here.
Yeah.
Now you're always wondering. Oh, is it going to be is it always going to be gunfire? Is what you're at this point you're wondering because that's pretty much how everyone has been dying. And when they the guillotine came down and just chopped the rope and they just fell to their deaths, I was like, oh, this is fucking trying to be as brutal as it can at all times. It's always
going to be brutal. Awful. It's like some of them lived and they're like down there like. Squirming a little bit.
Yeah, because like you don't guarantee die from a fall. People survived the apparently jumping the World Trade Center.
That's building. Wild.
Yeah, there are cases of people surviving that jump. I don't know how many people. I don't know if maybe it's just one person, but some like people have lived from falling that high, which is absurd. And it's just like, holy fucking shit. I would hate to fall that far. Feel the impact and then not be dead. And I guess what they walk up and shoot you or something.
No, I think maybe they shoot you, but I feel like they just put your body in the coffin and just brought you to the cremator. Like,
oh, okay. Well, that's even worse. What you just said is god awful.
I think they just put the bodies in, like they just picked them up, put them in the coffin. And
yeah, that's just, I'll pass on that.
And brought them to the cremator.
Fucking cremate me alive. Jesus Christ. All right. Well, tug of war was vicious. So there's something interesting, and I didn't know this when I watched the show at all. This is something that the internet, you know, the internet just being the internet. So apparently, one of my biggest gripes with the show at first was they kept saying how, you know, it's supposed to be fair. You know, the game's supposed to be fair. And honestly, the game was never fair. There were multiple instances of the game not being fair. One, the doctor, that they were using him to harvest organs. They were giving him the next game, so helping him along the way. That's not fair. And secondly, the Ilnam, like player 001, he was in no danger. I didn't know. So at the end, when you find out that he is one of the VIPs and basically like the host of the game, when you find this out, it made me go back and think, I didn't watch it again, but it made me go back and think like, well, wait, was he ever in any real danger? Like, at any point in the show, up until the marbles game, was he in any danger? Because clearly, when he lost the marbles game, he wasn't killed like everyone else who lost the marbles game or who lost any other game. He was not killed. So that's one. That's not fair. So the game itself, the integrity of the game is automatically shot. No pun intended right there.
Yeah.
So when I was watching some videos and researching, apparently, this is probably going to blow your mind too. This blew my mind. Everyone was locked to the tug of war rope. Like you couldn't, like if you wanted to, you couldn't be like, oh, fuck my team, let it go. Like everyone is literally locked and bound to it. If you go back, and this is actually in the show, Ilnam's arms are not locked at all.
So what's actually fucking crazy is Jaden noticed that.
What?
My little brother, as we were watching, Jaden pointed that out.
How?
I don't fucking know.
Because it's so fast, too. Like, it's not even a quick thing. It's not even a slow thing. It's like, after they win, they pan down from the guy who's all the way in the back, or whoever's all the way in the back. They pan the screen down. And you can see everyone's arms and stuff. So, they do kind of want you to notice, but it's so small. It's a small silver lock.
They put a lot of subtle things to hint at him. Like, how... one thing that was definitely weird was when the fight in the middle of the night, and when he was up on the top bed screaming like, "Please stop this! I'm scared."
Yeah.
And then the frontliner or the front man, he was like, okay, stop the game. I thought it was interesting, you know, that he, that the front man, like it was just interesting that he stopped the game there.
I did the same thing. I also said to myself, how the fuck did he get there?
Yeah. So it was definitely interesting. They definitely put hints, but I'm not going to sit here and say that, like, oh yeah, I definitely knew he was like, I didn't know. There was definitely hints and things to be suspicious of, but I'm not going to sit here and lie to anybody and be like, oh, I knew he was in on it. Like, I'm
So I agree with what you just said. I was suspicious of the old man very early on, but some of the clues that they dropped weren't clues to me. Like,
they were really subtle.
Yeah, like the lock thing, I didn't see. I physically, like empirically, I did not see it. I did not see that he did not have a lock on the tug of war thing. So he technically, when everyone would have slid down to their death, he would not have.
And yeah, that's
that is crazy to me. Apparently, in Red Light, and I haven't gone back and verified these. I just took it for what it's worth because I feel like, you know, why would the internet lie on something like this? Like, they seem like pretty reputable people. But anyway, apparently in Red Light, Green Light, when the robot scanned across everybody, it scanned him, but it didn't have the target thing on him like it had everyone else. Like, everyone else had this kind of color, this green, heavy green color, like they could be shot. He did not. So,
yeah.
Red light, green light, he was never a target. Like, basically the gun thing will never have shot him.
Yeah.
The honeycomb thing, I still think that game is, like, pretty easy. And he chose star, which, again, I feel like is, like, the second easiest one. It's like, okay, like, it's just triangles, like, five times. Tug of war, at first, and I even had this discussion with my friend Gary. I was like, I feel like he had to be in danger in tug of war. This is before I knew about the lock thing. I was like, there's no way you can kind of cheat that one. Like, they were, because I said, weren't they all bound to the rope and to each other? And he was like, yes. I was like, okay, so he was actually in danger on his weak-ass team, because that team wasn't good. They just had good strategy. Wasn't. Yeah, they had good strategy. If they went against the gangster team, they were losing.
I was so happy when Sung-woo said the one, because I literally thought the exact same thing when he was like, let's go forward. I was thinking, if I was playing tug of war, I would have did the exact same thing. We both would have pulled. I would have kind of let go, let us go forward, like that way to make them fall. Because that happens all the time in tug of war growing up. Like, I've played tug of war a million times.
Yeah.
And at some point, you play against somebody and they let go of the rope, so the other team just all falls back.
Yeah.
So I would have tried to do prop. Like, I would have pulled, let go. That way, we all fall forward. They end up falling back, and then we regrip, and then actually, like, now they're on their asses and pull them off. Like, I would have did the exact same thing. Like, I thought, I was so happy someone did that.
Yeah. When they came up with the strategy of the Il Nam came up with the strategy to, like, bend your back as far as it can go.
Yeah, that was wild.
Tuck the rope, because he played it so much. Like you said, there are hints throughout the entire thing. Another one of the crazy things that in the marbles game, so after tug of war is marbles. In the marbles game, he makes a comment about wanting to go see his old house.
Yeah.
And then he comes across a house and he's like, this is the house I used to live at.
What I thought was happening there at first was I thought they recreated, like, a neighborhood and had all of their houses in it. Like, I thought everybody that was playing, I thought their house was there somewhere.
So I like that about the show, because they don't explain much when it's that type of thing happening. Also, I think this is so well written and also well directed. Because of his, like, dementia issues, it seems that he has been having, or, like, some kind of disability thing. There was a one point where he wet the bed. Apparently that was also fake because there was an empty water bottle above his head, which, again,
That part, somebody pointed that out, and I don't know if I think the wet the bed thing might have been true, only because the empty water bottle, it was there, and I think Jaden said, actually, he was like, I don't think he wet the bed because there's a water bottle right there. And I was like, that's the water bottle that the other dude used to, like, because he had a fever, and because there was an empty water bottle, and then the girl had a water bottle, and she gave it to him, and she put the water on the rag to, like, put it on his head because he had a fever. So, like, they used that water bottle.
Okay.
At least as far as I can tell.
Maybe. So apparently he didn't even wet the bed, and, you know, that wouldn't surprise me either. But with the marbles game, he goes and sees replica house, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, you don't really know what you're supposed to be looking for.
Yeah.
It seems like he's just off on some losing my mind thing. He's basically choosing to not play the game. It's very confusing. He's, like, running around and Gion is like chasing him around, like, hey, we have to play this fucking game or else we're going to die. Like, what are you doing? You know, pretty much how I would be. I would be frustrated. Yeah, I would be pissed. I would be annoyed as fuck. I would be like, okay, I actually don't have time for this. I'm not trying to die. So you need to like actually fucking play marbles or else I'm going to, I don't know. I guess that game, you weren't allowed to use violence. Fuck. But I would be angry. I would be so fucking angry because basically it seems like if your partner just defaults on you, you can just, y'all both die.
Yeah. Something I thought was interesting. So first of all, Sungwoo, what he did to Ali was so fucked up. But I mean, he got the job done. But I thought his idea actually had merit. And I wonder if that would have worked. Because I think the idea that he used to trick Ali, I was like, that actually might work. Like if instead of playing against your partner, if you guys were like, okay, if the game is just I need 20 marbles and you need 20 marbles, if we like, if me and Frazier are on the team and we just go, okay, and we go find the husband and wife that obviously don't want to kill each other, and we're like, all right, us two versus you two, and then like we end up with 40 marbles and y'all have zero, like would they just kill the husband and wife and Kenny and Frazier live?
Right.
Like, I think that would have worked. Obviously, okay. They didn't play it out, but I think that would have worked.
So now you think I picked you.
Okay, I'm just giving an example, all right?
So now you think I picked you.
I'm just getting... I said from the gate you picked me, all right? But oh, I do think that idea would have worked because I think that... I think all that they cared about was whether or not you had 20 marbles.
Yes. It seems like, I mean, clearly after he cheated Ali, because I was afraid they were going to shoot Wu Shiesty in the head after that. When he walked into the guy and he
I did think that was bullshit. He was like, you said we could play whatever. And I was like, well, what game? You didn't play a game. Like,
yeah, nothing was played.
You said we could play whatever game you want. And it's like,
he played the fuck out of Ali is what he played.
Yeah, like,
he played our man Ali like a fucking violin.
Yeah, so.
The world's tiniest. So another thing about the house, though, just to backtrack a little bit, Gihan says that this alleyway reminds me of the alleyway next to the house that I grew up in.
Yeah.
And there's like all these allusions to maybe Il-Nam is actually his dad. And there's been like a lot of that going around. There's like a lot of allusions to it. Let me see if I have anything else in my notes about that. But yeah, at first you just think he's crazy. Like he's going around, he's looking for his house, and he says, oh, this is my house. And then Gihan says, oh, this is the alleyway that I pretty much grew up next to, which is like a strange kind of thing. Also, when Gihan goes to get the milk and he's like, oh, I actually can't drink milk. Like you have chocolate milk. I actually can't have this.
Yeah.
And then right after him, Il-Nam goes up, grabs the milk, and he comes behind Gihan and he says, my son also doesn't like milk. He has the same problem. There's a lot of this through the entire story. Like, there's a lot of this whole father-son thing going on, if you look for it. I wasn't looking for it when I first watched it. But once I went back and saw all the research that people put into it, like, it's actually very plausible that is his dad.
Mm.
So it's really, like, again, the writing on the show, because it's so ambiguous with a lot of things, I like that about it.
I do really like the ambiguity as well. Look, I like the fact that you can think it's his dad. However, if they ever confirmed that it's his, I think that would be corny as hell. If they actually confirmed that like it's his dad, I'd be like, that's so cheesy. But the fact that you can think it's his dad, I think is cool.
Here's what I hate. I don't think the show should have a season 2. I'm just put that out there right now.
Yeah, I agree.
I am not here for Squid Game season 2 at all.
The ending definitely sets up a season 2.
And I know it's, but and that's why I don't like the ending. The ending just seemed fucking bad to me.
Well, actually, I like the ending up until the very, very end. Like,
so you don't like the ending?
Well, no, I mean, I guess, what I'm saying is,
you don't like the ending, which is the ending.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is that the last episode of Game of Thrones, I didn't like any of it. I like the last episode of Squid Game up until the last 3 seconds. Well, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, I can't hear you.
I'm not saying anything because I don't even know what to say. Like, I'm just like, you don't like the ending. The ending.
Yeah, but I'm clarifying.
So to be specific, which part of the ending do you not like, though?
The only part I don't like is the fact that it's like, he's like the Terminator now. He's like, I'm going back.
Yeah. The corny. Like, it's the corny ending.
Yeah. I think that's corny. But so I guess what I want to clarify, because I think if I were to just say I don't like the ending, I think people could take that as I don't like everything that happened in the last episode.
No, whereas I don't think that's not the ending, though. But I see how people might think that if I don't know how your brain would interpret that the last episode is all of that is the ending, but sure. Yeah. The things that happened in the last episode, I like a lot of them, actually. Like, a lot of the things that happened in the last episode, I enjoyed. I do not like the last part of that episode, which is, like, how they chose to actually end the show, which is him dying his fucking hair red, looking like a maniac.
I actually love that. I love the dye of the hair red.
I hate it.
I love it.
Fucking awful.
That's the point.
I'm glad you acknowledge that he does look awful then.
Oh, yeah, he looks awful.
He's now probably 50 years old. He looks ridiculous. I just threw another 3 years on his already ridiculous age. He's dyed his hair red. He's all mopey and fucking sad now. But then there was a glimmer of hope when he was like, oh, I'm going to go to the States. I'm going to visit my daughter. And I was like, damn, that's actually...
I think that would have been a good ending.
I was like, this is actually so fucking good because, one, he could compete with the baby father guy, like the stepdad dude. He can compete with that guy now.
Yeah.
Like, and I like, you know what I mean? Like, he can get his daughter back the right, like, he has money, he has resources, he has time, because, like, his mom's gone. He doesn't have anything tying him down anymore. There's nothing burdening him anymore. He can literally focus his energy on his daughter. So I was relieved at the way it was ending until he saw the guy playing the fucking game where they have the red and blue envelopes. I immediately was like, oh God. I just, oh God, this is about to be so bad. And then he runs over. It definitely Terminator vibes. Like, he runs over. He like, don't you ever fucking call this number. And I'm just like, oh, this is so cringe. And then he walk into the gate in slow motion. And then he start playing the fucking mute. Dun, 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 dun. And he fucking answers the phone. Like, I'm coming back. It's like, oh my God, this is so trash. Like, why did they do that?
Doesn't need to be a season two. And if there was a season two, like I think you could do a season two, but the way they have season two being set up, I don't think is that good. But I like literally everything else in the show other than that last 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the last game, where you have to step on the glass. I think
that's not the last game. Also, the next game. There's two games after that. So that last
two after it. That?
Yeah, the glass. And actually, there's the bridge, the glass bridge. Then there's the dinner. That's a game. And then there is the squid game itself.
Yeah.
So I guess they don't consider the slit someone's throat a game. And I can understand
that.
It's not really a game, but it is It is a part that doesn't end until someone does kill someone. I don't know why they don't consider that a game, though. That's so weird to me.
When I was saying the last game, I meant, like, for the glass bridge, that was the last one that felt like a game. Because literally when they finally play the squid, I wish we could have seen them play the squid game.
Yeah, because I still don't know what the fuck squid game is. In the beginning, when they show the kids playing it, I don't know how to play it, really. And then at the end, they just beat the shit out of each other in the rain. And
they didn't play squid game. They just started rumbling. And, like, I wish I could have watched them actually play the squid game. But, so the glass bridge, once again, I feel like a lot of these things, like, there's room to get away with it. My first immediate thought when I saw the glass bridge was I would just walk on the rails. I would just walk across the rail. Like, I would just stand between the two rails.
You'll probably be shot to death, but at least you tried.
Yeah, like, I'm not jumping on fucking the glass. I'm just walking across
the rails. There's a really, really high chance, and we do have evidence, that you were probably shot. But at least you did something better with your life than taking a 50-50 on your life.
Yeah.
Because I think taking a 50-50 on your life is wild.
I think you could do, for example, and it's wild that they never do this on pretty much any game until the very end when it's 1v1 at the squid game and the guy says the rules and he's like, what do you mean if a player can't compete? And he's like, it's like one of the only times they ask for clarifications on the rules. On the glass bridge, that's pretty much what I would do. I'd be like, hypothetically, if I could jump from here to the other side without ever touching the glass, would that be okay? And if they were like, I guess, hypothetically, like, basically, I would ask a question to see, like, if I could do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Without telling them what I'm going to do. And then I would just, like, either walk across the rails where I have a foot on each rail, or I would, like, try to tightrope one rail and maybe make it so that I, like, because the glass is on the rails. So, like, I would touch the glass.
That squid game was the bridge. I think it is the most fucked game. I think it's the game that you have the highest chance to lose your life. So the game pretty much started before the actual game, and you had to choose a number. Now, if you chose 16, congratulations, you win. unless everyone else is super fucking slow.
But yeah, 16 is scary because like,
yeah, 16, you call it scary, but honestly, if I could pick it every time, Kenny, I'm actually picking it every single time. I'm not even going to lie to you. I don't even want 15. I want 16 every single time. I am so much more confident, and I keep putting my faith in something that I really do believe in. I think that people want to live.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just think that people are going to want to get all the way across.
No, you're right. However, I think, and you see it there, I think there would definitely be a lot of instances of analysis paralysis, of people just sitting there.
Yes.
And like not being able to take the next move.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
I would be so, and that would be me in any other spot. If I was like number seven, dog, I'm dead. Especially if I can't do any
seven, cheats. You're dead. Yeah.
If I can't do like the rail thing, like the rail cheat, if I can't do the fucking, I don't know. People said something about you can take your sneakers off and then untie the shoestrings to where they're really long, and you can like take the shoe and slam it into the glass, like lay down on the glass that you're on.
Yeah, but they told you got to take your shoes off straight up. Like, oh, they did that barefoot. That everybody had to do that barefoot.
Oh well,
everybody did that game barefoot.
I can't wait to reply to my thread after this fucking podcast recording, because everyone on the thread was like, well, not everyone, but there's a whole group of people on my thread who were like, oh, you can just take your sneakers off and fucking hit the glass. It's like
everybody, literally they say like you have to take your blah blah blah.
And I wish
everybody
you went on Facebook more often. At least not to go on Facebook for yourself, just for
just for you, just because if I saw that post, I'd be like, yeah, but they were all
barefoot. Granted, you couldn't have actually seen it because you just finished a show 2 hours before we
started. Literally just
finished. So there's no because the post itself is a spoiler, but that game is fucked. And if you can't walk on the rails, and I say a lot of people try to find ways to get out of it. Obviously people commented with the whole rail thing. I can't prove one way or another what you can do and what you can't do, because there's been shit that happened in some of the other games, and I'm like, well,
yeah, why'd they get away with that?
Like, why are you allowed to do that here? You know what I mean? And even in the bridge game, you were allowed to push people.
Yeah.
You were allowed to do like all types of shit.
That's why, and I think they'd let you go across the rail. Like, I don't know. Like, they,
my only reason for thinking otherwise is because because the VIPs who are watching, they bet on it. And they were like, oh, that guy is fucking cheating, basically. And they were like, you know what? You're right. We don't like that. So they just cut the lights off, which was super fucking ignorant. It basically, what that said to me was, we want you to specifically either do things to entertain us in a deaf way. Like, we don't want to see 16 people walk across the rails. Because if you do that, Kenny, if you're first and you do that and everyone does that, I guarantee y'all not living. Like,
But I think... there's no way to know. I think you're right. You'd get halfway across the rail, and they would. I don't think they would outright kill you, though. I think they would do something to complicate it.
Like, yes, they did with turning, I think that they would do something to make you put your ass back on the glass. I think that the second you start walking, they probably cut the lights out.
Yeah,
I don't think you can do it with the lights out, actually, because they couldn't even really see the glass the same way anymore. So, like, once you cut the lights out, I'm like, okay, now this is like super dangerous. But there's a precedent for them stopping people trying to like outsmart the game. That's what I was saying. Like, there is a, like, that is part of the show. Like, that has actually happened for that specific game. Someone had an out and they blatantly said no. So my argument was, you can try to do it. And I'm glad that you're thinking like this, because that's the point. I think the point is, like, we want to survive. I'm not mad at anybody who comes up with a way to survive in fucking Squid Game. That's the whole.
Yeah, because at the same time, like, in Red Light, Green Light, they let you fucking walk behind people and shit.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. So there are cheats sometimes, and maybe the point of the entire thing is to find ways around. Like, maybe all the games have, except maybe the honeycomb, you probably just have to fucking honeycomb it, but maybe all the games, you just have to, like, you know, find a way around getting cucked. Like, maybe that was the point. Maybe, like, they just were so overwhelmed they didn't even think like the rails as an option. Maybe because, you know, at that point you're so paranoid, you're so worried about what's in front of you. It's kind of hard to pull back a little bit and think like, okay, what can I do here? Like,
what about the one fucking guy just did like calculus on the fly? I was like, what the? How did this guy is this smart. What did you do to end up here? My man was like, I have a fucking factor of 42. If I do, I have a 1 in 32,000 chance. I was like, how do you do that math?
So there are jokes that I wish I could make that we would be able to make years ago, but now they're just inappropriate.
True.
But just know that there's some jokes that I would say about that guy being able to do really good math. the way he did.
He in that moment murdered
because it. He murdered that math. And I was like, a fucking men to hell. He knew exactly. Also, I don't know about you. I didn't know that the odds were that fucking bad. Did you hear the number he made?
Like, he said like 1 in 32,000 or something like that.
It was something, an astronomical number, Kenny. To survive, it was an astronomical number on your life.
He looked at all of the glass that was left and like, what, you know, I don't know. I'm not good at math like him.
It's a 50-50 every single time. So it's just 50-50 times however many, you know, glass panels there are left. It's just 50-50 every single time. There's really, like, if you want to break it down, it's very simple to break it down. I didn't know if the number would be that high. Like when he said something in the tens of thousands, 1 out of 10,000, I was like, holy shit. That basically just says you are not surviving this.
Yeah, you're not.
If you go early, you are guaranteed dead, is literally what that said to me.
It's flipping a coin. What are the chances that if you flip a coin, it lands on heads? It's 50%. Literally every time you flip a coin, it doesn't become less likely to be on heads.
Yes.
However, what are the chances that it is heads 50 times in a row? It's like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, I did not like that at all. I was like, holy shit, those odds are terrible. If anyone gave you those odds on anything, you'd be like, I'll pass. Well, I should say, going in the inverse. So usually people are like, oh, I want odds. You know, they're saying like, you give me the odds, like the good odds. I want the good odds. But if the odds were that bad against you, 1 in 30-something thousand or whatever the number was, you'd be like, absolutely fucking not.
Like, nobody would take that bet.
Yeah,
not at all. Yeah, I thought it was so funny. The guy that was like, my whole life I was a little bitch, let me be number one. And he was number one. And then when they heard the game, he like looked back at main character like it was his fault. It's like, bitch, you asked to be number one, all right?
Yeah, because it was 1 in 16 left.
Yeah, 1 in 16 were left. Yeah.
And Gihan's like indecisiveness, it was lucky for him this time.
Yeah, that shit saved his life.
It did save his life. I was like, damn, well, how nice to be in the fucking back. Like, I know he did have to run for it and sprint for it, but at least, like, I think people want to live. So when it comes down to it, I feel like all 15 players ahead of me, y'all want to, like, it's death, dog. It's a bad death, if you ask me. Like, it's a real bad death.
Now, but to what you said earlier, like, all of the games are supposed to be fair. Like, it's weird because in some ways, it feels like they go to extraordinary lengths to make sure you do things fair. But in other ways, like, you just can break the rules and that's fine. Yeah. Like
Marvels, he cheated. And just like stole the marbles, basically didn't play a game, like you said.
Yeah.
And he still was able to win.
But the gangster, he was like, I'm not going. You guys can go ahead of me. But the rules of the game say you go in order.
Yeah.
But like they were letting people go. You know what I mean? Like,
and you also were allowed to push people.
Yeah.
Why the fuck can you just push someone? I feel like that was another game where they should have said no violence.
Yeah.
Like, why the fuck was violence? Like, okay, I just find it strange that only certain games had no violence.
Yeah.
Like marbles had no violence. I have no idea why, but maybe, I don't know, maybe Ilnam was scared that somebody was going to beat his shit in. I have no idea. Like, I'm just really confused on why no violence for marbles, but then violence for the bridge game. Like, why can you be behind me and just be like, fuck it? Or if I'm on your same, if we're on the same platform, like, all right, well, fuck it. I'm just going to push you and see what happens.
Yeah.
I think that was just annoying to me. Because then what scares me about being 16, my only fear with being 16, this is my actual fear. I think everyone wants to make it to the platform just as bad as I do. If I'm 16, I'm in a very safe position. Except if the people on the platform don't want me to get on it.
Yeah.
Then I'm just dead. So my fear would be, let's say 4 people make it on the platform. And now I'm running across because I know the exact way, right? I'm running up and they're like, well, we actually don't have to compete with him anymore. I don't like that. That's a thing.
Like if you and me, let's say it's just you and let's say there's 4 people left, one person makes it and then it's you and then me. And you and me just stand on the last 2 glass platforms as the last guy's coming. And we're like, we're going to stand here till the last second. And then we, you know what I mean? Like we could just
I was actually thinking something more dark than that. I was thinking literally, I tried to jump up on the ending platform and you push me back.
Oh yeah, you could do that.
Like I'm talking about like, because I mean we saw it. We literally saw violence. Like,
yeah.
The fucking girl Cyberman. She Cyberman, the gangster guy. Like she grabbed him.
Yeah, she really did.
She wrapped her arms around him just like a fucking Cyberman, and she she exploded. She just like, all right, well, we're dying together. I was like, what the hell? Like, why is that okay?
Yeah. I mean, I guess in her case, there was no way to punish her, but like the gangster pushed like two people off with no punishment. And then Sung-woo pushed the glassmaker off with no punishment. Like, you were able to just push people off and it was like, all right, whatever.
Yep.
Keep it moving.
Yeah. And so I feel like if Wu Shiesty was standing on the ending platform and I was trying to come up, I think he would just push my ass. Like, why would he let me go on?
Like, I don't have to compete with you anymore. Like, I win.
Now, let's talk about another dumb thing about the show. One of the things that I really don't like, and is right after the bridge game, is randomly Sai, you know, I call her the Squid Queen. She gets fucking impaled.
Oh, dude, there was no... Why'd they blow the glass up like that? When that... I was like, that is so unnecessary.
I was like, yeah.
They make it across, and then all of the glass just explodes. I was like, what is that? Like, that is so unnecessary.
It was unnecessary, but okay, I thought it was like, all right. It's one thing for the glass to explode and like it flies up or whatever, and it's like mostly particles. You know, it's still dangerous, still annoying. But I thought that they were out of date. Like, I thought that at most it would be paper cuts at most, because that's what seems like happened to the other, like Wu Shiesty and Gi-hun. They just got cuts, like minor cuts. I did not think at any point when the episode was ending, they did that long ass slow motion scene, that anyone would be in basically in jeopardy of dying from the way a game ended that you won. Like, you won the game, and as a result of you winning the game, you get a wound that is so bad that it will literally either make you try to impose the whole majority rules and we go home, or you just bleed out and die.
Yeah.
Because she was
going to die. I thought that was wild. Yeah, I mean, she died. Even before she got her fucking throat slit, like, she was dead.
Yes. So the next... And I'll still call it a game, but the next two games, so you have the dinner and you have the Squid Game. So the reason why I think the dinner one is a game, and I'm surprised they don't have it listed as a game, at least on this website that I'm on at the current time, doesn't list it as a game, but maybe other places do, because that's just the internet. The reason why I consider it to be a game, so they fed them an amazing steak dinner, which they haven't had anything this nice the entire show. They've been getting fucking terrible food pretty much. And now they have a nice ass steak dinner.
Yep.
And they get to eat it with a nice steak knife. And then after the dinner, they remove everything, they clean everything off, and then they just leave the knives.
They leave the knives. I was like, that's fucked up.
And these knives are beautiful. Like, they're fucking really nice looking steak knives. And obviously, like, you know, immediately your brain is like, oh God, like, what? Like, these people are savages. Like, fucking savages. So I consider this to be a game, because I'm so glad we have this podcast so I can discuss stuff like this, because I have all these thoughts that honestly I didn't even feel like writing all this shit on Facebook that I was thinking.
Yeah.
But
it's definitely a competition. It's the reason why I called the Glass Bridge the last game, is because that's the last game. Like, it's the last thing with rules, so to speak. Like, after that, like, I feel like it was just okay. Like, all right, kill each other. You know, because like after that, it was like they ate a dinner, left a knife there, and then like they drew lines in the sand and were like, go fight.
But here's my problem with that. So, like, most people, and I think you including, consider the Squid Game to be a game, and it's not, though, if that's the case.
No, it's not. I don't consider it a game.
Okay, but that one's considered a game. So whereas the dinner part is not considered a game, how can you consider the Squid Game a game when it's literally the same? It's just violent. It's just like, the person.
I thought that was, like I said earlier, I wish we got to see the Squid Game played with people.
Yes.
Like, more like people. And B, like, it wasn't, like they just fought. Like, they literally just rumbled.
Like, they set up the Squid Game to act like it was going to be a fucking Squid Game. They were like, oh, you got to like choose the coin flip and you got to choose offense or defense. And
yeah,
I was like, dog, you don't know
how. There was no offense or defense. They started rumbling.
And it started raining. It was a fucking Omarion music video. Like, what happened?
It was wild. I did think it was cool. One cool thing was, I thought it was cool that he picked triangle for the heads or tails.
Okay.
The fact that he picked triangle was literally a call out to, because Sung-woo in the Sugar Cone game picked triangle, the easiest one.
Oh, betrayal. And
the fact that Gi-hun picked triangle for heads or tails, it was like triangle or circle or whatever.
Yeah.
The fact that he picked triangle, and like, at least to me, the way it was shot was annoying. Like, I'm picking triangle because, like, I recognize that you were fucking me over even back then when you were still pretending to be my friend.
Because he stared at him when he did it.
Yeah.
It was like an intense stare, but it also
like it wasn't just like heads or tails, heads. Yes. He was like triangle, and this is why.
Yep. I fuck with that. I didn't pick up on that, but I did. I fuck with that. So hear me out on why I do think that the steak dinner is a game.
No, I agree with you. All I was saying was that the last one I consider to be a real game was.
Yeah. Because it does, like you said, it has rules and all that stuff. I mean, the Squid Game has rules too, but they just degenerated to fighting immediately. That's my point.
It literally just
rumbled. But it did have rules and stuff. So, like, it was technically a game. It just didn't pan out that way. And I don't know if it always ends up in just kill the other person. Like, is it always just kill the other person? It has to be, right?
But I think they should have took the knives away. Like, the knives for the steak dinner part, fine. I don't know. I just think.
All right. Well, yeah. Not
for you. I'm not going to say. Yeah. My bad.
I'm not arguing against you here when I talk about the steak dinner. I'm going to say this for our people, our patrons and people who listen to the podcast. I am their community. People who are listening to this. The reason why I think the steak thing is a game is because, and I said this to someone else, I forget who I was talking about this to. I think that is like the Big Brother finale, where it's all about how you managed relationships up to this point. It really shows the payoff when it gets down to just three people in a room. And you have knives, and you guys are at opposite ends of the room, all three of you. So if it's me and Kenny and a random,
that what random do you think, is so dead.
What do you think happens?
That random is so dead.
Right? So, but here's the thing. Why I consider it a game is because I could see this being a thing where people plead their case. And it becomes a mental game, too, where you're like, yo, you know, he's stronger than you. Like, somebody could be like, Kenny's stronger than you. Like, physically, you are stronger than me. They can make a case for why it would be a bad idea to take you to the final. Even though, granted, I'm not going to just turn on you because someone's like, oh, he's strong. Like, okay. Like, but what I'm saying is there is a thing to be said at the end when you get to the point where I think that last game is there are three people and two of them have to decide to kill the third one. And it's going to come down to, are you dumb enough to go to sleep? Hopefully no one is dumb enough to go to sleep. I think that what you do immediately is you get up and you go over to another person and you say, look, we have to kill the other guy. Like you have to just make it. You have to sell it to the person. Like, we have to kill this other person because you want to live. You just have to sell it and say whatever you have to say to get the other person to be on your side. And let's say all three people get up immediately and they're all like talking, going back and forth. Like, yo, maybe all three of us are friends. Maybe it's me, you, and someone else. Who's like mutually our friend, someone who's not too much of a friend of yours and not too much of a friend of mine. Someone who's like, let's just say this person existed, because I don't think there is a person like that. But let's say that this person existed. Someone who is pretty much, we all grew up together, right?
Yeah.
All three of us grew up together. In that case, right? Like, you still have to choose someone to kill. Someone still has to die here. And I think that can make for extremely interesting TV, an extremely interesting game of watching how they decide who dies in that situation. It can also be obviously very easy. Like we said at the beginning, if it's me and you and it's a random, that random's dead.
Hella dead.
The random is dead. But if it's me, you, and let's just say Gary or something. And
Then like, it becomes complicated.
It becomes way more complicated because it's like, holy shit, like we're all friends. We're cool. We play Smash together. Like we play Yu-Gi-Oh together. Like we play DC together. We do all of these things. We watch anime. We do all these things together. We've known each other for tens of years now, decades.
Yeah.
And now one of us has to actually die. Like that is just a fact. The facts are the facts. One of us has to die. None of us want to be it, but you have to find a way to choose that person. Part of the game is going to be, you know me, I can talk. Part of the game is going to be me trying to tell it to you that like somebody has to go. And I don't
want to be. I'm interested in, as far as I know, because once again, they never actually showed, like, I think I understand how the Squid Game works, but they never actually showed us like a full play out of it. Right?
Yeah.
But I believe there's two teams. So let's say there's five offense and five defense. I wonder if, hypothetically, 10 people survive the glass bridge, right? So I believe it was set up that there's only this many games. Like, there's only supposed to be six games, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So if 10 people make it to the final round, the Squid Game, do five people end up living now? Because, like, if it's Team A versus Team B and, like, offense team wins, like, do we all live? Like, I'm curious how that works.
I think that, we don't know. This is all conjecture. I was thinking about that too. What happens if, because obviously in the bridge game, ideally, the most ideal situation happened where it was exactly three.
Yeah.
And for the bridge, it was exactly 16, which was also kind of ideal. But for the steak dinner game, being exactly three was perfect because then it ends up with exactly two. If more people had survived, what do you think happens then? I don't know if they would have gone to the steak dinner yet. I feel like they would have played another game to get it down to exactly three. The only reason I say that is because I really strongly believe that steak dinner was designed to be exactly three people. And I think that because of the triangle thing too, like the whole triangle and then setting them across, it also could be one of those things where they say four is also fine. It'll be a square.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be a square dinner. But I don't think that it can be any more than four or three. I think that it has to be four or three. And I feel like the Squid Game cannot happen until it's just two people. But
maybe,
I don't know. I just feel like...
I was thinking, like, let's say it was six people. Like, I think it would just still be that big-ass triangle table. It would just be two people at each side. Okay. And...
But then how you determine how many people are going to get killed? Like, when do they say, okay, you've made it to the final round? Like, because
I feel like they said it was only six rounds. Like, I feel like in the very beginning they said, like, this there's going to be six games that we're playing.
Oh, okay. I might have missed that or forgotten because it's been a couple weeks. So you might be right on them saying exactly the number of games that they were going to be. And earlier on, and you guys will let us know because you guys, I'm sure, listen to the podcast. We'll look it up and tell us. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's a set number of games. But if there are, and it gets to the so then the stake thing still happens, then maybe the stake thing will stop once they call the number down to two people.
Yeah, that'd be
maybe
wild.
You guys have to, because I feel like if what you're saying is true, if there are six games, then okay, let's say that all 16 of you fuckers make it through the bridge because y'all all walked on the rails and that was allowed. And the VIP just have to fucking suck it. All right, cool. Here's a really nice dinner for 16 people. Take away everything except the knives and let you guys sit in this room until you realize what's up.
Yeah.
And the second is down to the final two people. I don't know how they're going to really determine that with the fucking bloodbath that it'll be. But because stabbing is ridiculous. But the second is down to just two people. They're like, all right, you guys made it to the final round. It's like, well, shit.
That it is pretty wild.
Dark.
I just really, overall, you know, we already said this a bunch of times. I think the show's, I like the show a lot. But I do really wish I got to see the Squid Game get played.
But maybe that's part of, maybe that's also part of what makes it great, is that we will never see an actual Squid Game play out.
I'm about to look up the rules. I'm about to get my homies together on my next birthday. We're going to play the Squid Game.
I know, right? you fucking love, like, random games that you find. You just love that shit.
Yeah. Like, I'll play the shit out of that.
Like, you wanted to make the D&B game from Bravely Default 2 into a tabletop simulator game.
Yeah. That game, the only reason why I haven't done it yet is... It sucks how some games are just, like, Bravely Default 2, for whatever reason. Like, if it was a Final Fantasy, all of those images would be online. Like,
yes.
For whatever reason, because it's Bravely Default, like, it's just not. Like, if you go to the Bravely Default wiki, like, I don't know, I haven't checked in, like, a while now. But I remember I was checking, like, every single day. Just the image files, like, the source images just aren't on the internet anywhere. And I just can't find them. But if it was, like, Final Fantasy 20... then they'd be on the internet and I'd be able to find them and I would have already made it on tabletop. But oh well.
Yeah, for you guys wondering, there's a card game in Bravely Default 2 that we love. We brought it up in an earlier episode, but yeah, it'd be nice to be able to play it outside of the Bravely Default game.
So real quick, I want to mention, because you compared this to an anime a lot. It's blatantly an anime, right? Like this show, the writing, the way it plays out and the writing and the dialogue, like it feels... like an anime. Like
that is why me and you probably like it so much, because we like anime and it's very anime-esque.
Yeah. Because there's plenty of death games that exist, right? In our early episode, you mentioned Hunger Games.
Yep.
Hunger Games is a movie and it's a book, right? However, when I watch Hunger Games, I've only ever seen the first movie. I don't know, you've read all the books.
Yep.
But I've seen the first movie of Hunger Games. When I watch that, it's a death game, it's a movie, and it feels like that. But when I watch it, the way the scenes play out, the way the story plays out, and the way the dialogue plays out, it doesn't feel like an anime. You could make a Hunger Games anime, but what you're watching scene for scene doesn't feel like, whereas Squid Game is written in a way where it feels like an anime, like the dialogue, the things people say, the way
I think that things might play be a cultural out, thing
it,
too.
It really like, feels like an anime.
I agree with you. I think that that's a cultural thing. I think that it's just the way Asian cultures kind of do their writing. It's the same reason why we love their voice acting so much. We don't really care for American voice actors, but we fucking love, we go up for Japanese voice actors. We think they sound amazing. And
yeah,
that's not us just trying to be edgy or cool. I generally think that Asian voice actors do a better job at voice acting. I just do. Like they,
yeah,
I don't know, maybe it's something about them being more passionate about it, or maybe because there's so many of them. And I feel like the American voice actors are, there's so few of them now. You end up hearing the same voices over and over for characters that are like, okay, how's that guy fucking Naruto and also Ichigo and Goku? And like, it just, you know what I mean? Like and that's obviously hypothetical, but
yeah,
it kind of just, it doesn't have the same feel when you listen to the voice acting in American dub, for me anyway. And I know you don't watch dub really either, unless you're like watching it with your little brother.
Yeah, yeah. I've grown to like some dubs more, and I think over time that they've, dubs have gotten better. Like there aren't really bad dubs anymore. I don't know, I'm sure there is, but I don't
watch every anime dub.
But like in general, almost every anime I've seen lately, if I've watched it dubbed, the dub is fine. But also in general, like if I watch the sub of that anime, I end up liking it more. Like there's instances where I watch, like it's not even just like, oh, well, you like the Japanese audio because you heard it first, right? But that's not even necessarily the case, because there's anime that I've watched dubbed first just because reasons. And then when I went and hear the Japanese version, I was like, oh my God, this is just better. But watching dubs, I watch them more now because they're just easier to watch when you're old.
Damn. My man he's falling out of the elitism club, the toxic elitism club of subbed anime.
I'm toxic?
No, I'm saying you're falling out of the club.
Oh,
of toxic elitism.
Oh, I'm definitely out of the club. I'm definitely out of the elitism club.
I'm not.
I still prefer sub. Like, in almost every instance, I'll watch it subbed over dubbed. However, I'm able to watch a lot more dubbed anime.
Yeah, I look down on people who watch dub. I'm still that guy. I do not like that shit at all. Especially like, you know, like, honestly, fucking listen to dub Naruto. Like, dub Naruto is fucking awful, and you are lying to yourself if you say otherwise. It's so bad. Would you say?
I said it's not that good.
It's oh my God. And you know what? Maybe it's not just the dub itself. Like maybe it's also the fact that they just changed a lot of shit. The translation is bad.
Like the translation, what's tricky is the translations can be bad. And then also I do feel like what you said earlier, the passion or whatever, it's also like the range of when I hear somebody crying a lot of times in like a Japanese voice actor, it feels like they're crying.
It feels like they're actually fucking crying. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it'll be hard. Like they'll do some heart wrenching screams, or like their hype screams, like their shonen boy hype screens when they're doing a shonen boy punch. Like we'll have a lot of energy.
Dog, whereas, I'm telling you, they take that shit very seriously over there.
Yeah.
Y'all can't convince me otherwise. I'm sorry. Y'all like they take that shit seriously in Asia. It is.
That said, I did watch Squid Game dubbed. I watched it in English.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. I actually watched that dubbed, but it's not an anime, so it, you know. But I did watch Squid Game dubbed because when I started watching it was 1 a.m. and I was like, I'm not about to read subtitles at 1 a.m. I can't. When it's like that late, and it, like obviously subbed has its faults. One of them is, when it's fucking, you want to just go to sleep to something. Who's reading when they want to go to sleep? That's just not a thing. So I totally get where dub has its place. I think that going to sleep is its place. And
I need you to walk. All right, you need to go for a walk. You need to take your ass on a walk. All right.
That was straight off the top too. That was straight off. I didn't even have that one prepared. That was straight off the top. That was good. That was so fucking good. All right. Well, I'm done shitting on because I don't even know how I got here. But I was basically saying that. Squid Game. Like you said, it feels like an anime. I think part of it is because just something about, I don't know, the way they just kill people and show it is a very anime thing. Anime does not shy away from blatant, grotesque, gory death.
Yeah.
There's not too many things in America, at least, outside of like fucking Saw and shit like that, that is their entire movie is like, we just want to be gory. Like that is the point of Saw. It's like, I want to be gory. But outside of like Saw, like, for example, you mentioned The Hunger Games. The Hunger Games, people die in it, but they don't really
show. It's not gory. Yeah, no, it's not Mortal Kombat fatalities.
In the books, though, it is. They really, really dumbed it down for the adaptation. And that's fine. Like, you know, it's catered towards children going to the movies with their parents, I guess. Like, I guess. I don't know if Hunger Games is something you probably should take a child to see, but I feel like it's still catered
to people did, though, because Hunger Games weirdly was being compared to, like, Harry Potter and shit.
Because so. It took the same time slot as Twilight and Harry Potter, and that November... It comes out in November, and that was always the thing that Harry Potter did. Then after Harry Potter ended, Twilight did it. And then after Twilight ended, then Hunger Games came in.
And it had a jingle.
It had a whole thing. And like, yeah, so it definitely got compared to Harry Potter and Twilight, which are much more tame as far as like killing goes. But Hunger Games is literally about children killing each other. Like that is what it is about. And in the books, it is very dark. It is very graphic and gory when we're reading it from the perspective of Katniss, and she's watching someone get their head bashed in with a rock.
Yeah.
And she's talking about how you can hear the wheezing of his last words.
Whew.
I was like, oh my, like there's some very descriptive writing that Suzanne Collins does in Hunger Games. It does not, that's just not in the movies. And, you know, that's fine or whatever, but I think that if that type of thing wasn't, you would probably feel like, oh shit, this is more anime-esque than I think. But not to say that anime is just like violence being shown. That's not the only thing. But that is one of the things that kind of makes it. And then also the quirkiness of Squid Game, I think, is also like an anime thing.
Yeah.
Like, the one character who was a lunatic, the girl who ended up killing a gangster guy.
Dude, she was grating on my nerves.
She was an anime fucking character.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't a real person.
I'm good at everything except the things I'm not.
You can't tell me she wasn't an anime character.
Like, that's such an anime line. I'm good at everything except the things I'm not. I was like, this bitch is out of control.
There was nothing about her that was a real person.
Yeah, she was not a real person at
also,
all.
Also, I kind of feel like the gangster guy was also an anime character. Didn't he just seem like too much of like a caricature of a human being?
Yeah.
An actual, fully realized human being?
Yeah, but not because overall, though, I want to say... I'm not saying that necessarily as a bad critique. I think he served the show well. Like, I think he was done.
Me too. He was basically a villain in a way.
Yeah.
And I even liked his little henchman that turned against him. Another anime character.
Yeah.
The way he was like, you can't hurt me. Like that whole.
Yeah.
Like that was very. That was very anime. Like that whole, like in this very serious game of life and death, you're one turning your nose up at me, but also kind of like. Making a really bad, I don't know, kind of mocking me at a really bad moment.
Yeah.
It was an anime type of thing. Just like those tropes that they have in anime that we've grown to accept or love. So that's why I do think it feels like that. Also some of the music choices.
Yo, speaking of the Marvel game again, just going back real quick, slightly off topic on what we're talking about at the moment, but the husband and wife, I feel like he ended up killing himself afterwards. What a bitch move. If you've come this far, you killed your wife. Like, I can't believe he killed himself afterwards. Like, you've already come this far. Like, you got to go all the way. Like, you can't just kill your wife and then give up and kill yourself. Like, you should. If that was the case, you should have let your wife go. Like, you should.
So, I agree with you. I don't think you should do that because that's not what I would do. But there has been a precedent for people. I can't live without you and.
Yeah, but you already killed your wife, okay? Like, you've already...
I know, but some people...
If you want to kill yourself anyway, then let her live on. You know what I mean?
Whole, like, the thought... I know how you feel, but the thought process that a lot of people have when it comes to that kind of love is like, oh, you're my everything. There's no point living without you anyway, so what's a life without you? Look, Kenny, I don't get it either. I'm not fucking... I'm just telling you... I'm being devil's advocate. I'm telling you the opposite side of the coin here.
Like, yo, if it was you and me, right? If it was you and me and we were in there and like, let's say there was no weaseling out for whatever reason,
you and me
had to kill each other. One of us goes
How did this happen?
Just because I would legit be like, you know, whatever it is before we play the game, I'd be like, listen,
whoever wins,
if I die, you go fucking win this thing.
Yeah, I was about to say, I know you would say that. You would.
Like, you go fucking win this
thing. That is such a you thing to say, too. Like, if I don't make it out of this shit, you better fucking win. Like, that's all I know. And I can hear you. I literally can hear you saying that. I would probably be an emotional wreck, especially if it's we fucked ourselves because we chose each other.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I wouldn't even have let you choose me. I'd be like, no, dog. I'm telling
you
that feeling. You can't choose me here. But anyway, let's say, like you said, the scenario is we chose each other. Yeah, I get it. Like, do not kill yourself because one of your mans died.
Yeah, that's like, just, no, you go win, you go fucking,
like, don't
you take that money
and take,
yeah, just like Because that's the thing. If I die, you go get that fucking money and live it up. Like, you get that fucking money and you live it up.
Yeah, no, I am here for that. I fuck with that heavy. Like, don't let my death be in vain.
Because that's the thing. Like, his wife is now dead, basically by his hand. And then he just, like, killed himself. I was like, come on. You got to go. You got to go win that money and give it to her mom and dad.
What did he do to kill himself?
He hung himself. He got, like, the bed sheets and hung himself.
Okay.
Yeah, I was just like, I was like, man. Like, I get it. Like, I mean, I don't get it. But, but like, you know, I get being in that level of, like, depression.
Yeah, like, I've never felt the type of love yet where you want to commit suicide.
I just feel like if you've already committed this far, you've come this far, and then you committed to killing your wife, you got to go all the way. Like, you can't just let her die in vain. Like, you now have to go all the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people are like, well, you need to kill yourself so that you could be together in death.
Yeah. Let me ask you, what did you think about, because we didn't touch on this at all, what did you think about the front man being the cop's brother?
A lot of that is random. So... Like, the side story just kind of didn't pan out too well. I do like parts of it where the part where he went to the storage room and he found the book and it was like all the winners and stuff. I thought that was cool.
That was interesting.
Another thing about that, and I'm glad you brought this up now, the book, when he opened it, started from number 002, which, you know, and when I was watching, I didn't notice that 001 was not in there.
Oh, so wow.
When he opened up the book, and he was going through the players for the current game, 001 was just not, like, when he opened it, the first
thing. That's so crazy.
it started on 002. Again, I didn't notice this when I first watched it. It's something I saw through my
record. That's sick.
I thought that was fucking cool. But yes, I did like when they showed that his brother, who he had been looking for, actually won the shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that made it more, like, I'm pretty sure you felt the same way. That made everything way more interesting.
Made it interesting. That's the show has some really cool lore.
Yeah.
And there's like there's some things that I wish, on one end, I really like how ambiguous it is and how they leave a lot of things for us to play with. But there are some other things where it's like, I wish they went into it a little bit more. Like,
yeah,
I wish
they expand on this.
The brother won. That was really cool. And then there was suspicions of the brother being the front man. I just think that if you're going to go that route, you now have to give me a flashback or something. You got to show me how he went from winning to becoming the front man. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
there's a lot that has to happen between you winning and becoming the person who's pretty much running the game for the VIPs now. Like, I need to know what happened.
And that'll probably be covered in season 2, but I don't know. I just feel like maybe there should have been 10 episodes.
Yeah, maybe one more episode to explain. Because I also don't think that the younger brother is dead. I think that's obvious now that we know that there's a season 2 when he shot him off the cliff. I mean, granted, in real life, yes, he'd be dead. There'd be no question about that. But I think that for the purpose of a fantasy show like this one, where a lot of the shit that you're watching is already ridiculous, I do not think that he's actually dead from being shot in a non-vital spot and then falling off the cliff. I think that is 100% leaving a cliffhanger, if you will.
Pun
intended. So,
that said, when season 2, I mean, when season 2 comes out, I'll watch it.
Me too. I want to watch it, but I think it's going to be awful.
Like, I mean, I have hope that it'll still be good, even though, like we both said, I don't like the very end of the ending where, you know, he's just like, I'll be back. Yeah. I don't like that. I think he should have just went on the plane and went to go see his daughter. And that would have been a nice ending. And then if there was season 2, they pick it up somewhere else. But I will watch season 2.
Let me walk this back a little bit. So I think it will be awful. But the reason why I think it will be awful is contingent upon if the writer already has season 2 written before the show became what it is now. I want to make this clear. If this is like his love child and he has written Squid Game season 1, 2, 3, and 4, then by all means put that shit out, because that will be like me saying I didn't like how Game of Thrones season 1 ended when Ned started getting his fucking head chopped off, and I don't want more of it, even though George R. R. Martin wrote several more books after that. Like that.
Yeah.
That would be stupid. So I want to be clear. If there is source material for more shows and Netflix doesn't get their crummy little production hands on it that are like, now I'm trying to, I don't know, do whatever marketing and nastiness that tends to happen with things when they're pure and before they blow up and become a money machine.
Yeah. I feel like that's what happened with Stranger Things. I feel like Stranger Things season 1 was so good. And then season 2, right? Yeah, and then season two, I mean, I don't know. I didn't look into the backstory on how Stranger Things got written, but I'm willing to bet season two was not a fully thought out thing when season one was written. I feel like season one was written, and then it was gigantic, and then we got season two and season three, and yep. They weren't fully planned.
And so that's how I feel about Squid Game. If there is source material for seasons two and whatever else that was written before it became this, specifically, I don't care if the guy who wrote it is writing season two right now, I don't want it. I'm gonna be very clear about that. I don't want it. I'll pass. But if he already had this stuff already planned out, then I'm here for it. I just want to be clear on that. I guess my bitterness of not really wanting season two is because I've seen things that had a really good season just fucking nosedive every season after that. And it's like okay, Handmaid's Tale, perfect example of this. Handmaid's Tale season one is based off of a book, a New York best-selling book, and I'm sorry, New York Times best-selling novel, and it is extremely good. The first season of the show is so fucking good, but every season after that is awful. Do you know why? Because it's there's no source material. She wrote one book. At the ending of the first book or whatever, and the end of the first show, it ends exactly the same. So the first season is literally an adaptation of the book, and there's really not much change, like not much significant changes that they made. They didn't really take many liberties. Same thing with Game of Thrones. There's not many liberties taken in the Game of Thrones seasons that follow the books. The second that Hulu got to start making their own decisions for seasons two and three and writing their own fucking scripts, I think that is one of the most unwatchable shows I've ever seen. Like Handmaid's Tale seasons two and three and every season after that is so bad to me. I think at one point, me and my friend, we just said we're not watching anymore of this. Like, I'm not going back to that show. It was that bad. We both said we're not going back. We just made a hard decision. Like, I'm never watching this again.
That's fucking rough.
Yep. That is why stuff like that is why I am so bitter about this type of thing.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what they do. Is season two confirmed? Like, has anybody confirmed it?
I don't know.
Yeah. So obviously we're pseudo speculating, but assuming there is going to be season two, because I think there's going to be, with how much money it made and just the way it ended, assuming there's going to be a season two, I do think it could be good, but you know, it'll be tough. I'm interested to see what happens. It's just weird because I do think season one overall is really good. It had mystery, it had like kind of that horror, it was a death game, it had interesting stakes, and the way things played out were cool. It had, I think, fairly likable characters, and at least in terms of what we followed in the main cast. And I guess it really depends on what they do with season two to make it. Like, if there's like another hidden boss, like if there's like another hidden boss behind the hidden boss, it's like, all right, you know what I mean? Like, that's when shit can get a little ridiculous. It's like, well, actually, behind the old man was his wife, and his wife was running the game actually.
Hard pass. Anyway, let's wrap this up. So this has been episode 26 of the I Am Nerd podcast, and this was on Squid Game. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I want to give a quick shout out to our patrons. We have Connie, Austin, Leon, Xavier, Garen, Quest, Hylian, Sarah, TCG Automotive, and Silver Chronic. Thank you guys so much for supporting the podcast. We appreciate you as always. We're glad to be back. I am fighting through this fucking sickness.
Yes, he is.
Sure you guys can get this fucking content, because I really wanted to put this episode out. I've been waiting to get the Squid Game episode out, and I'm glad that we finally got to do it. And honestly, I don't know. We may even be able to do a second episode on Squid Game, because there's a lot to talk about with this show.
There's a lot to talk about for sure. And I'd love to get more, like, yeah, I don't know.
There's a lot of things that we didn't even like discuss. Yeah. But maybe, you know, if you guys maybe write and listen to letters to iamnerdpodcast@gmail.com, and we can discuss those about this. Like, hey, I feel like everyone
the worst game was.
Yeah, we can discuss game. How people felt about Squid Game. If you guys let me know what you want us to talk about, we can do a whole extra segment about it.
One thing before we go. If you were assuming you're in that exact same room, all the exact same players, so it's not a different group of people, you're just in that room, do you think you could have won?
Yes. I don't know, maybe I'm cocky, but when I saw the room, I was like, I feel like I could win this. Now, Granted, it's a little weird because I'll be the only black guy, but I also don't speak
Korean. Hey, I mean, there was a Pakistan guy in there, so.
Okay.
I'm just saying you're not the only minority.
That's true. I'm not the only minority, but I am the only African-American person, to be even more specific on what I'm talking about. And I also don't speak the language at all. Ali did speak it somewhat, even though clearly he got killed because he didn't fully understand what Wu Shiesty was saying. I thought that was another deceptive part that was happening there when he was just talking a lot and Ali was kind of shaking his head. Like, you could tell he didn't fully understand what was going on because it's just like a language barrier. But anyway, I don't speak any Korean. So that I would probably, like, if you put me in there with a room of Koreans, I'm going to die.
I'm just saying, assume it's the exact same room, all the exact same people, but you know, you guys speak, you they all don't really
okay, know. Good. You give me, okay, if I can speak Korean and if I can communicate with the people, then yes.
Yeah.
I think I can actually win the game. I think that I have, because I've watched so much TV, I watched a lot of Big Brother. I think I know how to manage relationships pretty well. I think I know how to, and I know this is kind of fucked up to say, but I feel like I know how to manipulate people good enough to like get by. So I feel like in that situation, I will be able to actually win.
I'm confident in every game. I'm confident I could clear every game except the sugar one. Cause like, I feel like,
what? I don't know. You die to sugar?
No, I don't know if I would die to sugar, right? Like, hey, if I got triangle, I'm in there. But
if I pick umbrella, I'm dead. Like, I already said that. If I don't know, and I don't know why I would pick umbrella because I don't really have an affinity for umbrellas. I'm telling you, I really think I would pick star because I don't know that star. But
I would play any money mo. Like, I don't know what I would just like flip a 5-sided coin.
I'm telling you right now, nothing about umbrella. I've never seen anything Umbrella and been like, that's what I want. I don't even watch the Umbrella Academy. Anyway, all right, we're out. See you guys. Right. And like I always say, do what makes you happy. Peace.
Peace.